Yeah, what's going on, everybody, and welcome in to another episode of the Bay LA Podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, news from around the association, and side note, the number one rated combination Bay and Los Angeles Lakers podcast on the internet, probably because we're the only one, so shout out you guys. My name is Austin Sexton, here with Roman and Casey, my Bay Area boys. How we doing, guys?
What's going on? Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, hanging in there. It's been a while since we've been on. It's kind of life's been kind of lifing. I know we had Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well. We had a lot of people were traveling, a lot of things were going on, so we haven't been on, but we're back. It's probably been about a week, so there's a lot that's been going on in the NBA, and I'm happy we're getting ready to talk about it. I know the Warriors have been a little up and down, just like the Lakers.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Lost their last three, but yeah, it's all right.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we dive into it, guys, make sure to like, subscribe, follow, comment, do all the things that you're supposed to do for the podcast side, the vlog side, the YouTube, the Apple, the Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, your vlogs, make sure to like and subscribe. We're just a bunch of guys who love to talk hoops, and we love to talk hoops with you. So like, subscribe, and let's stay on it. So, man, let me tell you guys. Tonight, we're back into NBA Cup action. My Lakers at 11-7. You talked about the three-game road skid. We haven't been on here in a while. We took three. We lost three and just got one against the Spurs. But my 11-7 Lakers are hosting OKC at 14-4 here in LA tonight in NBA Cup play. How are you guys feeling about OKC right now, man? No Chet, but it seems like they're somehow managing to maintain. How are you guys feeling about them?
Yeah, I mean, they still have a lot of good young players, and I mean, I feel like they're coming together defensively. They didn't start off the season too well defensively, but I mean, their offense is just as efficient. Shea is having a great year again, as frustrating as it is to watch him play against your favorite team, especially the loss of the Warriors the other night. That was tough, but yeah, he's great. They have a lot of offensive firepower. Isaiah Joe, he's a knockdown three-point shooter.
He's a shooter.
Yeah. It's a good roster, so it should be a good game.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good team even without Chet Holmgren. They got Hartenstein back, so that's a huge addition for them. Everyone's kind of chipping in for that team. Like Aaron Wiggins is doing some work. You see Lu Dort doing everything defensively. And then, yeah, SGA is just like kind of an automatic bucket. Like if he's not making a shot for himself, he's getting to the line. So yeah, the Lakers will have their hands full tonight, but I do think that they are a beatable team. We talked about this off air just a little bit, but yeah, as great as they are, they do, you know, have some flaws, and yeah, I think they can be beat.
Heck yeah. Well, statistically and analytically over the last 2 years, it seems like the Lakers have had OKC's number. And that specifically goes to the post play with Anthony Davis versus Chet. But even before Chet got there, we seemed to match up really well against them. Last year, Chet being his rookie year, it seemed like he wasn't exactly, I guess the easiest way to say it is he wasn't big enough to handle Anthony Davis. And he's put a couple pounds on, but obviously he's hurt. So now he's going to be going up against Hartenstein, who came over from New York in the New York trade. I'm just not exactly sure defensively how we're going to handle this really fast-paced team, because right now Lakers almost dead last in letting opponents score in transition, and we all know that OKC is a running and gunning team. So who would you guys say, other than SGA, that the Lakers need to look after to make sure that they can get some stops tonight? Because I don't know too much about OKC. I follow games, you know, game by game on a game by game basis, so I'm not exactly sure what I need to be looking for.
I mean, Jalen Williams, he's a pretty dynamic scorer for them, and he's going to be playing tonight. I know he had the eye injury. He went out early against the Warriors, but yeah, he's going to be in tonight. I think he's just kind of a do-it-all guy for the Thunder. He's just capable from every spot on the floor. And yeah, Isaiah Joe, as I said, he's just a knockdown three-point shooter. Hit him from the corner, the wing. The guys, they're gonna get the ball to him for sure. So just defending against the three is going to be important.
Yeah, I completely agree with Roman. Jalen Williams, he's so good. Like, I think everyone that watches basketball knows that he's really good, but I still feel like he's an underrated player. And yeah, Isaiah Joe, like, that guy can kill you from the three-point line. And If
I didn't realize it was like that with him.
He's like that.
Yeah. He's like that.
I mean, there's just so many options that they just get him the ball and he's open, because I mean the defense is collapsing against Wiggins against Jalen Williams, Shea, Hartenstein, that he's just kind of open Wiggins on the wing or in the corner. Yeah. Or yeah, even Wiggins too. Aaron Wiggins. Yeah, yep. Aaron Wiggins.
You know, it's really funny to me because, like, in my head, and I think it's just from growing up watching so much, you know, early 2000s basketball, but the build, the player build of Isaiah Joe kind of reminds me of the same player build as, like, let's say not as muscular, but just like kind of built like a truck, like Desmond Bane. And I wouldn't expect these guys to be 3-point shooters the way that they are, but somehow they just knock the damn ball in. And I just don't understand it. So like you talk to me about Isaiah Joe being like a knockdown shooter, I'm like, really? So yeah, I guess maybe we'll have our hands full there.
I think that's just where the league is at these days. It's like everyone can shoot the ball.
Yeah. I believe the league average it for 3-point shooting is about 36%. So yeah, that's yeah, league average.
I'd be curious to see how many 3-pointers are shot in, like, you know, a season, like just year by year.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's probably going up by at least a percent every year between all the players in the association, which is kind of baffling to me, but you know, it's, you got to have the three ball. I mean, D'Antoni and all those guys, Kerr's just setting the precedent for what the future offense looks like. So I don't know if it's completely death to the mid range, but it seems like it's either you're going to the paint or you're shooting the three. So, but staying on the topic of the Lakers, man, we haven't had an opportunity to really talk since at least the Orlando Magic loss. I put a little something up about how the Lakers needed to take the Denver game personally. And, you know, we haven't been on since then. They played great in the first half and completely lost it in the third quarter. We were talking about it off air, but it seems like the Warriors and the Lakers are all having third quarter woes. And I can't exactly figure it out. We played really well against the Spurs at the end of the third, thanks to Max Christie really stepping it up. But I'm not exactly sure what it is that is going through these guys' heads. I mean, it's like we're playing NBA teams. We're playing NBA teams. Like, no matter what you do, these guys are coming for your heads, especially because we're marquee franchises, right? As much as I can talk about the Lakers, I can talk about the Warriors and appreciate the fact that you guys are a probably number two and or if not number three most watched franchise in the NBA. So you know that every single person that's on injury reserve is circling that game saying, oh, I'm going up against Steph Curry. Oh, I'm going up against LeBron James. And somehow these guys step up and we just, it's just irritating, man. So I just, how are you guys dealing with your third quarter woes, man? Cause I'm really feeling it over here. Let's talk.
not dealing with it well. Where to start? I mean, that Brooklyn game at home was really rough. They were up big. I forget what was the largest lead, but I believe they're up more than 20 at one point, and just slowly watched the lead go away. And Dennis Schroeder is on a hot one. Can't be stopped.
Dennis Schroeder loves to play against Steph Curry. I don't know what it is. That man loves to play against Steph Curry.
And they started the game out, like, the first half was great. Moses Moody was lighting it up. I think he had like 15 points in 15 minutes. And then the second half, he gets 4 minutes. It's confusing. And then this was before I knew about Steph Curry's knee issue with the tendonitis.
Yeah.
But I felt like at the moment, I'm like, why isn't Steph in? Why is Steph sitting out so long?
Yeah.
The lead is going away. And now I'm assuming it's because probably to save, you know, the wear and tear. Yeah. But at the moment I was like, we're going to, you know, we're spiraling, and then they, you know, they lost.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, the third, they beat us in the third quarter, 29 to 25 points, but the Brooklyn game, the fourth quarter, 41 to 28 points, like, yeah, just not getting stops. I mean, just, there was just nothing being generated on offense. And yeah, Steph being managed for an injury that we didn't know about at the time, that kind of happens. But yeah, in general, these third quarter issues, I mean, I'm going to say it's kind of up to the mismanagement of the team, and it's not a good use of minutes for players and finding good rotations. I think this is kind of a little bit on Kerr, not getting guys who are hot in the game at the right times, taking guys when they're, you know, kind of feeling their shot and getting confidence and being like, oh, nope, your minutes are done. Sit down. It's not finding that good balance or nuance right now for him. And I mean, he's got a challenge with the roster because there is talent here and it's tough to navigate, but I think he's just overthinking it every step of the way.
And they're definitely missing D'Anthony Melton right now. But I don't want to just say this is all because like they're missing D'Anthony Melton. Like Buddy Hield has cooled down a bit since the start of the season. They're just going through a rough slump right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough time to go through it because their upcoming schedule is going to be pretty difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we're at too on the Lakers side of things, and kind of transitioning back into Lakers stuff. You were talking about, you know, like Steve Kerr, just like always kind of, you never know what you're going to get with him. JJ, the last couple of games we have had new starting lineups. We had to for a little bit because Rui was out with an ankle injury. Jackson Hayes also just came back and then re-aggravated that same sprained ankle against the Phoenix Suns. So now we're back to using Christian Koloko. But the one thing that Lakers fans have actually had a pleasure watching is Dalton Knecht being inserted back into the starting lineup here and there. So the four games that he did start, he was averaging double digits. I believe he was averaging 17 points as a rookie, which is fantastic. Then goes back to the bench, comes off as the sixth man, and ends up averaging 9. So I think we're trying to figure out exactly where he is going to be inserted. The last game against San Antonio, he ended up starting alongside of Rui Hachimura, and we moved Cam Reddish back down to the bench, which was a little surprising to me because Cam is kind of our wish version of Jared Vanderbilt. Not saying I'm not trying to talk bad about any of our players, but we all know that Jared Vanderbilt, even though he's finessing the Lakers for every dollar that they have right now, is a fantastic defender. So it just kind of, we have to think about who is actually going to be in our starting lineup. And I really like Dalton Knecht, man. And I actually have a cool, funny Dalton Knecht story towards the end of the podcast, cause I had some cool things happen this weekend, but I think we're just trying to figure out what our starting lineup is at the moment, man. It's a little confusing. And I think it's just cause we're injury ridden too.
Would you say Dalton Knecht is a certified starter?
Is Dalton Knecht?
If you had to make the Lakers starting five tonight, is he in your starting five?
My Lakers starting five, if every single player is healthy, is LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Austin Reeves, Dalton Knecht, and Jared Vanderbilt.
Okay.
I think that Dalton Knecht has such a gravitational pull for defenders that it just opens up so much. And if hear me out. If Jared Vanderbilt comes back and he can get that good corner three like he was doing before he got injured, if Jared can make the corner three like Cam's making right now and have that defense, the lane is going to be wide open for AD and LeBron to play the two-man game and Austin Reeves slashing to the basket. I think that'll be fantastic. Then off of the bench, we'll have D'Angelo Russell. We will have, if healthy, See Wood, which we're gonna make a little thing for him because you know how I love Christian Wood, Max Christie, who has been stepping up like crazy. I applaud that man, and Rui Hachimura. I think that's it, and that means that I hate to put it like this, but you've been doing it to me for 15 games now. Cardio Gabe is going to be out of the rotation.
Oh yeah. I think that's been a long time coming.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a decent defender though. He does things that aren't on the scouting report, and he does things that don't show up in the box score that you love. But at this point, it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, you need a little bit more. Yeah, you just need a little bit more.
a little bit more. Damn. But I feel like we've been pulling out wins, with at least one hand tied behind our back, and I think that once we get fully healthy, I think we're doing okay. So as long as we can float until we can get a trade done and our guys come back healthy, I think we'll be all right.
I really hate relying on that one phrase. Once we get healthy, once everything comes together, once we get our guys back on the floor, then we'll win games. And then you're like 50 games into the season. And then, Niner specifically. But like once you're like 40, 50 games in the season and you're still saying, once we get healthy and you're the 10 seed, it's like, okay, like what are we playing for anymore?
Right. So before we go into some Warrior stuff, and you're absolutely right, health is, oh God, drives me crazy. Before we go too crazy, what is, how do we feel about the game tonight? OKC versus Lakers in Los Angeles. What are your guys' takes? How are you feeling? Where do you think we're going to end up?
Oof.
Yeah, you don't have to be optimistic because it's a Lakers and Warriors podcast. If you think it's a tough one, that's totally fine too.
I think it is a tough one.
Currently, just so you know, OKC is favored by 2.5 right now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is going to be a big LeBron James, Anthony Davis, like
superstars.
Be the star power and outshine this rising Thunder team. Like I think that they're capable of it with how hot Dalton Connect has been, just scoring, how the Lakers are beginning to gel together with what healthy pieces they have. I think Anthony Davis is not going to be really someone that they're going to be able to slow down too much, and if they do, it's going to compromise them guarding other positions or defending against other offensive outputs. But
is Harden's not a good defender?
He's a very strong, very tall body. He's a good defender and a good rebounder. Yeah. His offensive game is pretty meh. Like he can do a little push shot.
He's got the push floater.
And he's, like that's
behind the back pass a lot. Like he
I know. That was annoying to watch.
Every time.
Yeah. The Thunder have to do a lot to support his own offensive game when he's in the paint. But as a defender, I mean, he's just a very large body and he can push around for rebounds. So that'll be a challenge, but he can't be on the floor the whole time just coming off his own injury issues from the start of the season. So once he does come off the floor, the Thunder get a lot smaller very fast. I mean, that'll increase their pace of offense, but that'll be something that'll have to be navigated for the Lakers. I think this is a very winnable game for the Lakers, as the spread of 2.5 is kind of showing.
Okay.
Yeah. I do too. I think not the only thing the Lakers need to watch out for, but one of the main things you need to watch out for is the pace of the game. Like if they can slow it down to their advantage and keep the Thunder from just running up and down the court, because they're a young team and they're going to run and gun, but
yeah,
the Lakers can kind of keep that under control. I like their chances and make somebody else beat them. Like, lock down SGA. That's hard. You know, it's easier said than done, because if he's not, like I said earlier, if he's not making his own shot, he's getting to the line. But
so in my head,
make life hard for Jalen Williams and
take
it from there.
In my head, it's going to be, if Rui is starting tonight, I'm very interested in seeing what JJ does tonight. I have a feeling that he'll run with the same lineup because we just won, but I would think that Cam Reddish is probably going to be, Cam and Dalton will come off the bench together. For defensive purposes, for Cam going on SGA, because that's probably going to be the first thing that happens. In my head, it's going to be Rui who has that defensive assignment and or Austin, and I don't feel super great about that. They're not cones, but they're not amazing. We're just, if we can get to being an average defensive team, I think we'll be okay, but right now we're definitely bottom 10, so we're going to have to figure that out. But I think that the Lakers can pull it out tonight. This is a huge game, huge implications. So, especially for NBA Cup. So if we win this, we're headed to the quarterfinals.
Yeah,
and if we lose it, we're going to knockout stage, and if we lose it and we're done. Speaking of which, how do you guys feel about the NBA Cup? Like, are you excited? Are you,
since the Warriors clinched, I like it.
Yeah. That's definitely okay, keeping me engaged.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
I mean, last year when the Lakers won it, didn't they go on a slump right after that?
Yeah, I don't know if that. So the sample size
worries me.
Yeah, the thing is like we don't have a big enough sample size. We don't have like 10 years of NBA Cup play to determine. Yeah, every part of me wants to say it was the pocket man, the hands in the pocket man's fault. We don't say his name here. But I feel like it was his fault, really. But I did notice that once we got into that final game, that they really were pressing on the gas. Like, it looked like deep playoff type basketball in, you know, December, which is great to see. But then, yeah, then we went on the slump, and you have to think, is it because they went too hard? Was it coaching? What exactly was it? If I was guessing, and I had 10 years of analytics to go off of, I would think that you probably see a little bit of dip off directly after because of using it, but I don't think it's enough to go on a 10 game skid. Like, I think we went like 3-8 afterwards. Ugh. It was crazy. You go from riding a high to like, we suck. It's terrible. Yeah.
And the cup's over too. So it's like, you got nothing to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I guess we'll just keep playing regular season games now.
Yeah. And you know what's going to be funny? I'm actually really looking for, I don't care if the Lakers win it or not, to be honest with you. Like, at the end of the day, like, I want to have a good regular season record to have a decent playoff seeding. What I'm really excited for is seeing the next team that has to hang the banner. Because everybody would be like, oh, Lakers hanging the banner. Well, guess what? The NBA is making every other team hang it. So whether it's you guys, whether it's the Pacers, whether it's the Cleveland Cavaliers, y'all are hanging banners. So everybody could just shut the fuck up. Yeah, I said. Anyway, let's talk about the Warriors. Man. Let's talk about the Warriors. So let's, you guys have been telling me there's been some Warrior woes. What's going on in Warrior Town, boys?
Kind of like we alluded to earlier in the show, like the rough second halves, and then lost the last three. I believe it's been San Antonio, the Nets, and then most recently to the Thunder. Yeah, bad second half. Bad.
Third quarter woes like the Lakers.
Yeah. Third quarter, fourth quarter.
letting leads slip for no reason. It's just bad basketball. Just,
is it offensively or is it defensively or is it a mix of both?
I would say it's a little bit of both, but mostly offensively.
Yeah. So you guys can get stops, but you're just not getting the ball in.
No. Oh, it's blown layups. It's bad free throw shooting still. It's just leaving so many points on the board, and that kills momentum. It kills energy. It's trying to make up for those mistakes later on, and then you're getting at the end of the game when it's a close game. You're not in a rhythm. You're panicking. You're playing sloppy. Turn the ball over one too many times in clutch moments, and right. Game over.
Yep. Right.
Pretty much.
Understood. Yeah. Understood. Wow. I haven't got a chance to watch a lot of the games. I am planning on watching your game tomorrow, though. I was going to say, you have Phoenix, and I think that's going to be a fantastic game. I think it's going to be a great game. I see you guys getting that win. I see you guys getting that win. I feel like Steph Curry always goes crazy when he plays Kevin Durant. Like, you saw how it was against Klay Thompson. Like, he wanted to prove a point, like, you don't leave. I feel like Steph is going to show up for that. How are you guys feeling about the Phoenix matchup?
Yeah, if Steph's playing, then I feel a lot better about it. If Steph's not playing, I think it's an uphill battle because the Suns
is he questionable?
Are a good team. I'm not sure if he's been upgraded. I know he's probably doing better than he was the other night where he was ruled out, but knee tendonitis early in the season, I feel like that's something you kind of want to be careful with.
Yeah.
But the Suns are, you know, that's a big game that they're like right there in the standings. They're pretty deep. Like, it's more than just KD and Booker. Tyce Jones has been great for them.
Beal. O'Neal's been great. Bradley Beal's been shooting well. It's a very good Suns team. It should be with Steph. It should be a good game. Without Steph, it's going to be a strength in numbers, please. And I don't think it'll be a good game.
Yeah. I just watched and we'll talk about it towards the end here, but I was in Phoenix for the Phoenix Lakers game, and Royce O'Neal and Bradley Beal were just, when Phoenix is healthy, they're a deadly team and they're playing well, because you guys know how Booker can get hot. It's like whenever if these guys are hot at the same time, it's like 2016 regular season. I mean, just even full season Warriors. It's like nobody misses. It's ridiculous. Royce O'Neal was going crazy. It's like, because of the way that they swing the ball, because they play an offense that is very similar to what I think you guys run. It's a lot of swing, 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 back screen cut, swing, swing, swing. Every time the Lakers had to make an adjustment, and I don't mean to talk about the Lakers again, I'm just talking about it in the sense of watching Phoenix's offense. Mm-hmm. You remember when people play you guys, you have to pick your poison. Is it like, do you double step? Do you leave somebody open and just dare them analytically? Like if they're a 30% three shooter, you're just letting them go. And we let Royce O'Neal go and he just killed us. Just every time he had an open look, knocked it down. Then finally, when he goes on a hot streak and you have to throw two bodies at him, are you letting off Durant, Booker, Beal? Like, what are you going to do? So I think that you guys defensively have a great chance of being able to, just because you're a smaller team that moves faster. Like whenever Booker gets the ball, if he's on a hot one, I think you guys can recover faster. The only issue I think you guys might have is against Vucevic. He is a big body, man.
Nurkic.
Sorry. Yeah. Not Vucci.
Soon to Chicago. Be Warriors Vucevic.
That's right.
Maybe. We'll get a next show. We'll make sure to get Shams on to speak about
two everything. Second rounders. Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
is that the implication right now? Is that what they're saying?
I saw something that the Bulls would want like at least 2 second rounders for Vucevic.
Yeah. I remember when we were talking the other day, I was in the trade machine on cleaning the glass SpotTrack. I was on SpotTrack just trying to make the math work for a Zach LaVine and Vooch trade. And it just, the numbers are astronomical strictly because of Zach LaVine's contract. It's insane.
He's on a monster deal.
Yeah. And I think he still got it for like another 2 years. So it's like the person that takes that on is like, good luck.
Yeah.
You know, so you really got to like, you're winning. If you're doing it, if you're making that trade, you're trying to win this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's the only way you do it if you feel like you're a piece away. So, but if you guys are only looking for a big man, then hey, I think he's only 20 million. So
it's interesting because I don't know. It's like where does he, hypothetically, if this happens, right?
Yeah.
Where is he a starter? Is he like,
oh, he has to be, right? Yeah, he absolutely has to be. There's no way he's not.
So does that, okay. If we're playing a game of hypotheticals, let's say Vooch goes, does that mean that TJD is your backup or is Looney your backup?
I think it's however Kurt's feeling that game.
It's probably TJD.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
TJD is probably your first backup five, traditional five that goes in, but like Draymond's always going to play minutes at the five for some reason, even with a guy like that on.
So Kerr just goes up to Looney. He's like, "All right, old pal, it's been fun."
Yeah, and also like, what else would it take for that to happen for the Warriors? Like, especially with this stretch of games coming up soon, I think it's pretty important in terms of the trade deadline coming up. It's like, kind of got to see like who's going to be up on the market, or who do you actually want to, you know, stick around, like. Is Kuminga going to be available? Is Pajemsi going to be available? Like,
I think like, if you guys are in the market for the big man, right? And if we're playing GMs, right? If we're going to play the GM game, if we're thinking that the Warriors have what it takes to get to the finals, right? You got to go. You need a big man to get through Denver, right? If that's what would happen,
right?
If you would get to the finals. In my opinion, right now where the season stands, you're either A, going up against Boston, fully healthy, would have a Porzingis, right? Or other dude, what was his name? Started with like a Q or a X or a Z or something like that?
Kita?
Kita, yeah. Yeah, you got to go against those guys as a big, or you're going up against Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. I think that you guys would have a better chance against the Cavs than you would against the Boston Celtics, even though you won it. I mean, it's like seven game series.
Okay.
You know, so you got to think about it like that. Yeah. So if you're a GM,
left such a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, it's insane. I think you guys have a better chance against the Cavs than you would against Boston. But I don't know.
If the Warriors are going to be making any big time trades, like trading for Vucevic,
yeah,
trade for Lonzo also.
Yeah, honestly,
backup point guard who can
that
just
fills
like
that hole that D'Anthony Melton left.
Bro, punt Kuminga and Pods. I'd hate to see Kuminga go, but just do it, man.
I've also been seeing some rumors, or I don't know if they're rumors, but it's, you know, it's fans speaking on social media. A Dante DiVincenzo reunion.
I can't believe you guys let him go to begin with. I mean, I understand it, but like
Warriors.
Yeah, he was fantastic with the Warriors. So, but I don't know if I don't think that Minnesota is willing to do that. And even if he did, I don't, based off of when he got signed, I don't think he could even be traded till December 15th. I think that's the start of contract. Like when people get signed, that's when you can start trading.
I don't think that's a necessary trade, because I don't think he actually fits well with what the Warriors need specifically.
Okay. Interesting.
Because like I feel like DiVincenzo plays a better two guard than a traditional point guard.
Yeah. I agree.
And I really don't think that's what the Warriors are struggling with. Like they need a little bit more of like genuine
ball handling,
just offensive generation from like that position specifically. I don't know if DiVincenzo can do that well. I mean, hell, I don't think Lonzo can do that well himself, but I think Lonzo just offers more than what DiVincenzo can at this point. But that could just be crazy talk.
Yeah.
I'm going to go here real quick. Lonzo is with, I'm on Spot Track currently. I just want to look at what his contract is. Currently he's making 21 million or 21.3 million. Next year he is a free agent. So, or I believe he does not have a player option, but he is to make 32.1. I'm assuming that he probably would pick up his player option.
Oh yeah. Player option. Shoot.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. 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 I did not know, even with all of his issues, they've still kept him on that contract.
I'm going to double check real quick.
That's wild.
Oh no, he does not have a player option. He does not.
It's not a player option.
It's an unrestricted free agent. Unrestricted free agent. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's next year. If you're trading for him now, you need contracts above, based off of your tier, you would need contracts to amount over $21.3 million. And I don't know who you have on your books that you could send off. In my opinion, you're probably going to do Andrew Wiggins as your trade chip.
I feel like Wiggins does so much.
Yeah, he's having a really good season.
The Warriors need him too much. They would start cutting off the young guys first.
But keep in mind, you have to have bare minimum, I believe it's 12 players on your roster. Your young guys, just because you stack them up to make contracts work, doesn't mean that it's going to equal the amount of, you have to make sure to have 12 players on your roster and be able to make over 21 million on Lonzo's end to be able to even make the trade happen. Yeah. That's where it gets crazy. So let's look at your, just quickly before we start wrapping things up, I'm going to take a look at you guys. You have Andrew Wiggins at 26, Draymond at 24, D'Anthony Melton's at 12.8. Jeep. Okay. See, that's so your main players that are getting paid right now on your mid-level MLE, you've got D'Anthony Melton, Draymond's at 24, Andrew Wiggins is at 26, and Steph Curry's at 55. Everybody else is making less than $10 million. Your next highest paid player is Gary Payton at 9.1. So you would have to give up D'Anthony Melton, and he's injured right now, so nobody's really going to want him unless they're looking at building in the future with him. Yeah. You're probably going to have to do GP2, and you're looking for point guard. So you're going to have to give up, GP2. You're probably going to have to give up, you can give up Kuminga. He's a restricted free agent next year. He's 7 million. So that's 9, 10, 11, 12, 16. And one more player. You're going to have to give up 3. I'm going to say you probably give up. Pods is making 3.5. So you have, oh man, it's tough, bro. You'd have to give up Slowmo, or you have to give up Buddy.
I'm not slow-mo in the OKC game. He kind of, I don't want to say he brought him back, but like he made a lot of key plays that generated the comeback. Like they don't come back without him.
No, he activated full slow-mo mode for some of those baskets. That I was like, thank you for points. That's all I wanted to see on this possession instead of just a stupid wasted turnover again.
He's also one of those guys that like affects the games in more areas than the box score shows.
Yeah.
Understandable. All right. So just to reiterate this and just to kind of figure this out, Golden State Warriors, if you're playing GM, are you willing to give up Gary Payton, Jonathan Kuminga, and Buddy Hield in exchange for Lonzo Ball's contract at $21 million. You're giving up three to get one back.
No, not
something like that. And I mean, yeah, if that's just how the money works, then yeah, no, I can't do that.
Okay.
I would want to, but yeah. Kuminga, there's just so much. I don't want to say there's upside. I don't want to keep telling myself that every year that there's upside with Kuminga, but he just still brings something to the court.
All right, I'm gonna do one more for you guys.
He brings too much.
Shake, GP, JK, and a first round pick for Vooch and Lonzo.
Yes.
Yeah, D'Anthony Melton, JK, GP2, and a first rounder for
Vooch.
For both?
Yeah, for both.
And Lonzo?
Yes, Lonzo and Vooch.
In terms of draft capital, it's like, I feel like if you're trying to win right now, then like...
You're probably going to have to give cash considerations. And what about two firsts? What if they say no to one, but they say yes to two firsts?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if it means they're going to be in a better place... And they are
if it means any further statistical probability of the Warriors getting another championship in this era, Steph Curry getting a fifth ring, do whatever it takes.
Okay.
This is a once in a lifetime player, once in a lifetime, like generational talent.
Okay.
Just sell it all. Sell it all for something like that.
Go all in. And that's kind of like, I feel like, how do I phrase this? But I feel like a lot of fans, a lot of people want the Warriors to just go all in.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're trying to do the whole two timeline thing and it kind of failed in a way.
It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. It worked with the Spurs because Kawhi Leonard is Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Right.
And that is the only instance where it worked.
Well, as our friend LeBron James would say, fuck them picks. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, before we wrap it up, I just thought it'd be cool for anybody that's watching the vlog side of this or the YouTube version. I brought up a couple videos. So I was telling people before I just went out to Phoenix, Arizona to go work with my buddy Alexis, who's eventually going to be on the show. Artist Alexis, he's did the halftime show for the Phoenix Suns, and he brought me along to be his music director. And I was actually going to be on the floor with him to do backgrounds and stuff, but stadium, it got a little crazy, but we had all access. And for the first time in my life, I actually got to be on the floor getting to see warmups. I got to dap up LeBron James, one of the greatest moments of my life, literally within like 5 feet of each other. I got to meet Dalton Connect. I tried to get him to do a drop for this podcast. Unfortunately, it did not work out that way, but I just wanted to share a couple videos that I had. This was getting to see, this was Cam shooting and getting warmups in. It was just so cool to see, you know, like, and I never realized how big these guys were until you're actually like right there. Cam is all of 6'8". And like in my head, he's like a 6'5", 6'4" guy because he's known for defense. He's tall as hell. And his jumper looked great live. This is Dalton Connect, Rook getting up some shots, just even being there. Like he's super nice guy. A little awkward to talk to. I think he was just because he was shaded out. He's like, I don't know you, bro. Why are you talking to me? But I was just like, I got the all access pass. And then here's Kevin Durant. And then finally, the creme de la creme was Braun. So yeah, this was everything, dude. I mean, he missed a couple J's here in the video, and he messes up the dribble here. Not to put him on blast like that, but like, it was just, oh my God, this was the coolest thing ever. Just being in the energy after this shot right here, it goes off. It actually went in, but after that moment is when I was like, hey, great shot, GOAT. And he turned around, he was like, thanks, young fella, and then hit me with the dap up, and it was the coolest thing ever. So if you watch the if you're watching the YouTube version of it, you just saw some videos, and I thought I'd share that. I thought it was pretty cool. So, but yeah, that's another episode of Vele Podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. Thank you guys so much for tuning in with us. Lakers game tonight. We'll see if we can do some stuff for the Warriors tomorrow, but we'll be back with some more news from around the association and some Lakers Warriors talk. So we'll see you guys next time. Take care, guys.